Hey, this is Erin.
I'm Melissa.
And we're Trending Northwest, a weekly podcast all about the latest in our region, introducing you to people you'll want to know if you don't already.
We're on a personal mission to celebrate kindness, innovation, and diversity, which is at the heart of our culture in the Northwest. Join us as we shine light on topics that are trending for good and have conversations with some of the most fascinating people in our area.
Learn more about guests on the podcast and read about trending topics at trendingnorthwest.com. Episodes are dropping weekly, so be sure to hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts now. Brennan Pointer is the owner of Spokast Productions, a podcast production business right here in Spokane. In addition to being an entrepreneur, Brennan is also a running enthusiast.
In his free time, Brennan is super engaged in the community. You've probably seen him at Lucky U Lounge or cheering on the Zags during basketball season.
Welcome back for your second appearance on Trending Northwest. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you for having me. I will say, first of all, it's an honor to be in the list of 21 most influential people in Spokane. It feels weird. It's an honor. And I was going to say, before this, I was going to tell you something and then you stopped me. Is I love that you announced it like 20 days before the party, because I get to have like 20, I celebrate everything. Like I open a bottle of champagne for a lot of things, and having this 20 days of ramping up to it is going to be a lot of fun, and it's fun, and a lot of people have reached out to me and said said congratulations, and I don't know, it's cool, and I appreciate you including me.
Well, the first time I even thought about podcasting is you invited me on the show. Mm. And that was at your house during the pandemic at the very tail end of we weren't in the stay at home order anymore, but we were kind of just starting to get back out there. So we had some delicious cocktails and just laughed and talked, and you go, you know, you should think about doing a podcast, Erin. Have you ever thought about doing a podcast?
Yep.
And I was like, nah, I don't know, man. That's not really my thing. Here we are, 67 episodes later, doing this thing. And now we have a magazine, and I've made this my whole job at the time I was still teaching. So you are very influential, because you've encouraged so many people to start podcasting in our community. And it's such a powerful way for people to get their voice out there. So what do you think has been the most rewarding thing about inspiring others to love and participate in and host their own podcasts?
It's really just helping their dreams come true of podcasts. And like, I'm probably not making all their dreams come true, but I'm helping with their podcasting dreams. And I just think it's one of those things that like I can't really explain it, except that like when someone comes to me with an idea, I can always see a vision of what they're trying to do with their podcast. And sometimes I can help them a little bit more with that. But like being able to sit with someone and be able to like learn about like what they're passionate about and see that come through has been such an amazing experience in my time of helping people produce podcasts. It's kind of unexplainable. And it's one of the reasons why I do so many podcasts with people, is because someone will come to me with an idea and I'll be like, I love that idea, and they might not have a ton of money to spend, and I'm like, I'm going to help you make this podcast any way possible. And it's probably why the reason I like don't sleep that much and I don't get to run as much anymore is because I'm constantly trying to like help people find ways to bring their podcast to life.
But I have to say, it's been pretty amazing seeing so many different entities, organizations be able to reach their audience in a new way where it feels so personal, you know, especially with quality microphones. Like the quality of the equipment that you use is killer, and it makes such a big difference in how the production of the podcast really makes them shine.
Yeah.
What do you think is really transformational for people through that process when they start thinking about what drives them, you know, what their story is?
I think what's transformational about what I provide is that they can see what their podcast would look like professionally from the get. Like I've talked about this on probably last time I was on this podcast. And when I started making a podcast with my friend that lived in the Bay Area, when we started our fantasy football podcast in 2015, we were doing it on our phones. We were talking on our phones with like headsets. And then when I, you know, decided I wanted to do more locally centric podcast, when I started Spokast, I had to buy all the equipment, but I started out with, you know, just what I call church mics, so, you know, like the, and just a little, like kind of like what you're using here, but like, this is really good equipment. Like this is, and like immediately from that point, I was like, I can see like how having professional equipment can really elevate your podcast and how it can make it totally like transformational for anyone that's starting a podcast. And that's the coolest thing about helping people is that they see it immediately. Like, and they don't get to deal with any of the technicalities of it either.
Yeah. So. And I think that's one barrier to entry to podcasting, right? Mm. So, I mean, it makes sense that you were voted third best recording studio by The Inlander. Because, I mean, one of the things you do is you make it very accessible for people to get started podcasting. Mm. So out of all of the people that you've talked to recently, we've seen Drew Timmy, Isaac of Sando's Sandwiches, and others. What have been your favorite episodes within the last 2 months? I'm not going to put you on the spot the last... and say years. But.
Isaac Hauser is – he was amazing. It was also the first time Andrea, Nate, and I had been back in the studio together in over 6 months. And we're trying to do the OG Spokecast crew episodes at least once per month. But – yeah, having Drew Timmy like in my studio with Adam Morrison and getting to listen to those two talk to each other and kind of be a fly on the wall, like it is a very much a pinch yourself moment. Like Drew Timmy was in my studio the day of Selection Sunday and immediately after that left to go do a shoot around before the show and then had the show. And then like me and Adam sat on the episode for 2 weeks until they were unfortunately bounced out of the NCAA tournament, which was unfortunate. It would be so cool if they would have gone all the way. But, you know, that's an experience that, like, that is what really keeps me doing this is, like, experiences like that and being able to help Adam make that podcast is a little bit unreal, I have to say. And I will say, being voted third best recording studio, I have to thank you, Trinity Northwest, because I only posted once about telling people to vote for me, and you guys posted once, I think. And I think that's all the marketing I did behind trying to get voted for best recording studio. Because I honestly, it's one of those situations where Amplified Wax and Panoramic Dreams are, I wouldn't consider them my peers because they are recording studios. They're mixing, they're mastering, they're creating music locally for musicians. While I'm using professional equipment and I think I do a good job, it's an honor to be considered in the same vein as them and Spokane Public Library as well. Like to be on the same, to share that third position with them is pretty cool because what they're doing in their space, like giving people access to free podcasting equipment, free music recording studio, like, and even being able to like book time with someone in studio with Corey. I don't forget what Corey's last name is.
Don't forget to put inspiration and entertainment on your calendar. Get season tickets now to STCU's Best of Broadway. You can have first access to popular touring productions with live music and top talent, special offers from nearby restaurants, and so much more. West Coast Entertainment is a locally operated independent presenter of national touring Broadway productions, concerts, and other special events. Don't miss a single show-stopping moment. Learn more about their upcoming season by checking out BroadwaySpokane.com.
But being able to be in there and do that with him and have a professional studio, that's really cool that they're providing that for the community.
Yeah, that's something that isn't very well known. We just discovered that when I did that Lilac City Live episode. And the library is providing so many amazing resources for business owners. We're actually going to be teaching a social media marketing class at the library very soon. We're in those final discussions about how often it's going to be getting it calendared. But we're ready to go. And we want to give those tools to business owners for free because our libraries are so much more than just about books anymore. I mean, podcasting can be such a great tool for you to even learn more about your community if you're doing your own, you know, research and that kind of thing and to get connected with other people that you admire.
Yeah.
So our libraries are such a wonderful, thriving location. I know. Yeah. I know, Melissa. She's like, click, click, click. So I have an important question for you.
Yeah.
There is something really exciting coming up for you, and that's the 30th anniversary of the Benny and June movie.
Oh, yeah.
And you're planning to do something extra special for it. Can you tell us why Benny and June means so much to Spokane?
Well, man, so Benny and June was filmed here in Spokane in 1992, and it was kind of – I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what the film industry in Spokane was like before that. Like, I know there were, Vision Quest was filmed here as well with Matthew Modine, which was also a big deal. But I think the, because Johnny Depp was such a humongous actor at the time, and the fact that he was here in Spokane, he lived in a house up on the South Hill that kids would just come and bother him at. Like, there was a story we've heard that a group of kids would go and kick soccer balls in front of his house the entire time, and this just for a chance to see him get out of his car. And one day, I guess, they kicked the ball towards him, and then he kicked it back, and it, like, made this kid's life. But, like, I think what's so special about Benny and June is that it was a real Hollywood movie. Like, it was actually, like, professionally produced. It was made by a big studio. I forget which one it was, but it pays tribute to Spokane so well. There's so many different parts of Spokane that are featured in the film, and that when you go back and watch it, like, you go be like, I know where the milk bottle is at. I know where that video store is at on First Avenue. I think that's maybe on Sprague. But like, there's so many locations that you're like, oh, this is Spokane, and it's Spokane in the 90s. And that's how I remember Spokane, is like, I moved here in 1991, and it's just such a, that's why it's so special to me, is because it reminds me of moving here. There's a little girl that was like a grade ahead of me at my elementary school, and she rode the bus with us every day, and she played young June in the movie, and she's only in the movie for like 2 minutes. Like, she doesn't have a speaking role or anything like that, but like, she was on our bus, and everyone was like, she's in that Johnny Depp movie, and we all thought she was the coolest, and she thought she was the coolest too.
You all knew she was a cool kid.
But yeah, we're doing the event at, we're going to be doing a screening. It's happening in July. It's happening on a Saturday in July. And I don't know the exact date yet. You'll be able to find out more about it in the next couple of months. We're not actually officially announcing it until right about when this episode is dropping. So you'll be able to find more. Follow me on Spokast or anywhere. But I got to also shout out my friend Ashley Graham, who's helping organize the entire event. She's very passionate about the movie and Johnny Depp in particular. And I wouldn't be doing this without her and her bringing me on board with it. She's spearheading all of it. I'm just kind of helping her make some connections and help. And the funny thing about Ashley Graham is she was in my second grade class with me, and who rode that bus with me. So like, it's very much a full circle event. And it's funny that we're still friends all these days later. So yeah, it's cool.
That really says a lot about your character. And that reminds us of another person whose character we dearly admire. Mm. And that is a certain human called Chris Bovey, who is doing a pretty incredible project that we've been tipped off about, but we haven't discussed because we were sworn to secrecy. So what can you tell us about the Save the Garland project?
So the Save the Garland project is a project that Chris kind of fell into by moving right next door to the Garland. I think it's the most worst kept secret in Spokane, but like, the Garland's been trying to find someone to buy it for a really long time. And that's not exactly what Chris is doing, but Chris is kind of organizing a GoFundMe to put money back into the Garland to help revitalize it and help make it what it used to be like. He's gonna do a lot of upgrades to lighting, a lot of neon, like, you know, because it's one of his new passions of getting neon on everything in the Garland district for as well. But he saw this opportunity to do something with the community, and we really need the community's help to help the Garland survive. It's not just enough to get people there weekly to go to the movies that are there. It's, we need more financially, and he's organizing this, and it's, I just kind of came on board because he just needs help. I'm like, where can I help you at? And he's just like, I need help everywhere. And so I was like, what can I help you do? So I was like, I can help you do social media. I can help you make a quick website. I can help you do a couple of other things. Like, and I just wanted to be able to help be a part of it and help him take some load off, because Chris would say this about himself, is that he doesn't ask for enough help. And and I will say, like, he is one of the most humblest, most giving people in the world. And the fact that he has trouble asking for help says a lot, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why he should ever have a problem getting help from anybody. Cause I told him, like, you just ask someone to help you and they'll help you, Chris. Like, and he understands that, but I think he just needs a little bit more encouragement to ask, just keep on asking for help. Like, and I like telling him that, you know, just keep on asking people. And I, that's what this is all about. Save the Garland. You can go to You can go to savethegarland.com and, find out more there. You can then find the GoFundMe there. It's kind of just a landing page right now. It's probably all it's ever going to be, but he has a good video on there kind of explaining what he's doing to save the Garland. So it's a really fun project.
Have you ever spent hours researching online to find the coolest hotspots, learn about fascinating local people, and plan your next staycation only to be more confused? We have a magazine for that.
We do the hard work for you and research trending topics every day and then spill the tea on our favorites on social, in the digital magazine, for the busy modern professional to access easily on the go.
Support women-owned inclusive media and become a subscriber for just $29 a year at trendingnorthwest.com/subscribe.
It is such a cool project. And the Fox Theater has had a great model for how to save and sustain. So off the record, you know, make sure to get in touch with them because they have amazing, amazing ideas for sustainers and for people who can like maybe buy lifetime tickets or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Melissa.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we talked a little bit about, you talked about the other recording studios that also won first and second place. And so you're really involved in the Spokane music scene. Can you tell us what's been going on, you know, since COVID, there was that whole, everything that kind of shut down. And then what's been going on really within the last year in Spokane music and what we can look forward to?
Well, so I'm very new to the music industry or scene in Spokane. Like, I've always been just a pedestrian, like just a, someone that's going to shows. I just saw a need to kind of, I've always wanted to help put on shows, and I've made some really good friends in Exact Change, Iso Matisse, Jinx Universe, TS The Solution, True Hoods with, why can't I think of it? Rose Throw. And I mean, I really want to find a space for them to be able to perform. And Lucky U's right now the best space. I mean, I would love to have an underage place too. There's only the Knitting Factory, and you can only do so much there locally because it's such a big venue. But, you know, I really just wanted to help bring more hip hop and R&B to Spokane. I wouldn't say there's a gap at Spokane. I mean, we have Red Room Lounge, which has a lot of shows there as well. But I want to do stuff with my friends, and I want to put on really cool events at Lucky U, because like, if you listen to my podcast, and I'm sure on this podcast as well, like Lucky U just comes up as always being just the best venue. And that comes with all the years that Carly and Caleb were doing, man, why can't I think of the old place?
The Bartlett.
You know, like, and it's such a cool space. And when we did Good Growth there with Exact Change and Matisse and Jinx, it was just filling that room with the community and actually seeing, like, because like, I haven't really told anyone this, is that we expected like 60 people to show up. We were like, we would be happy if 60 people showed up. We ended up selling like 180 tickets to that show, and we filled out that space. And it was the most heartwarming experience I've ever had it's one of the most heartwarming experiences I've ever had. And to help my friends be able to showcase their music in a really cool venue and work with Jazz Boyd on stage design. It was just such a fun project, and this makes me want to do more and bring more music to showcasing local hip hop in Spokane and having it be an experience and not just like people getting up on stage. Like, I really, the thing that me and Jazz really want to do is make our shows an experience for people that they will remember for a while, if not forever.
And I was there at that show, and it really was so beautifully done, from the set design to how dynamic the performers were. They acted like they were performing for thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You would never know that they were just a couple of local guys who were grinding out this idea, you know, and worrying that not a lot of people would show up. It was so packed. And it just, it really shows a lot about how much you mean to Spokane and how you really have your fingers on the pulse of what's cool and what's happening in our city. So we just have to say, one, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. And we know that there are going to be lots of people who are going to want to follow what you're up to and learn about the next show and the Benny and June event and the Save the Garland project. So where can they find you on social media and on the web?
The best place to find me anywhere is at spocast.co on Instagram. You can go to you don't got to say www. anymore. That's such a millennial thing. Yeah. Or I guess even it's more like Gen Xer, I guess. You can go there. You can go to spocast.com. I don't really do much on that website, but at Spocast is where I'm the most active. Spocast on Instagram, you can just search it. And I'm thinking of anywhere else. No, I mean, that's really it. Like, I spend all my time on Instagram. It's been the best way to get out to the community. I will also say this, being that I've just launched a TikTok for Adam Morrison, I've been on TikTok for about a week now, and it kind of went very mini viral, and dealing with comments on TikTok it's hard. And if you turn off comments, then you get the algorithm to shut you down too. So and you can't really delete anything either, because then the algorithm shuts you down. So I like Instagram because people are nice there, and it's very community oriented. Like, and it's where the people that I want to follow are there, and it's where who I want people to listen to my podcasts are too. Like, it's really I think it's the best platform for community. Yeah,
and for creatives. You know, we've really seen so much dynamism in the different types of content you can produce and post, and we would love to have all of you go and follow at spocast.co on Instagram. And if you're looking to start a podcast, make sure you reach out to Brennan and slide into his DMs in a super professional way.
Slide in my DMs. I mean, that's what I tell everyone. So,
Well, thanks again for being on the podcast, Brennan. We are so grateful to have you. Do you want to laugh with us even longer? Subscribe to the podcast now and get access to after-hour episodes where we go off script, leave in plenty of bloopers, and tell you hilarious stories that you won't hear anywhere else.
Support women-owned inclusive media and become a podcast pal for just $4.99 a month by visiting our website, trendingnorthwest.com/podpal, P-O-D-P-A-L.